Welcome to the Placebo Magic Podcast, the podcast about imaginative self-care for skeptics. I'm your host, Durmok, the wizard and peasant lord of the vast 10-acre realm of Hobdur, also known as Garrison Benson. Hello everyone, Durmok here. I hope you enjoy this formerly Patreon-exclusive bonus episode from the archives, and if you'd like to listen to the entire back catalog of bonus episodes without waiting for them to hit this main podcast feed, check out patreon.com/placebomagic. That's magic with a CK on the end. Greetings, Placebo Mages, and welcome to the Placebo Magic Podcast Patreon exclusive bonus show. It's been a while since my last episode or bonus show or whatever, but here we are. And you might know that there's a pandemic going around. So today I want to focus on talking about sort of how you can apply placebo magic to help deal with the situation and various problems that are being caused by the pandemic. So I think most of us are probably dealing with some loneliness from the isolation and the lockdown. I know I am. That's been the hardest part of this for me because I live alone in the woods. And, normally my job would kind of counteract that so that I would kind of get the right balance. I mean, I'm an introverted person more or less, but I have a very public job that I end up making a lot of small talk. You know, on a typical week, I'm making small talk with hundreds of people at work, and then, you know, I'm alone when I'm at home, which is a good balance. But in this case, because my job is managing a small movie theater that's been closed for over 2 months now. And so I've just been, you know, at home, basically. So it's really hard from just the loneliness, but then obviously loneliness turns into depression. And, you know, you kind of go from there with the other problems associated with that. So I want to talk a little bit about some ways you can sort of use placebo magic or placebo magic adjacent ideas to handle the loneliness to start with. So you might have listened to, I think it was the last bonus episode about tulpas/imaginary friends. And you don't have to go all the way down the rabbit hole of tulpamancy in order to get some benefit from that approach. You know, you could just get out all of your stuffed animals and put them in places where you can sort of make eye contact with them. You can, you know, pray to fictional beings, whether that's like, you know, Jesus or Odin or something of your own invention, or Yoda or Spider-Man or whatever. But I would say during this pandemic, it probably, you want to focus on the compassionate beings. You know, pray to Mr. Rogers, or ask Mr. Rogers to be present in your home or something. You know, have coffee with Mr. Rogers in your imagination. I think those are the personalities that you want in this time. It's not a time to invite like a fire and brimstone god into your life when we're all dealing with this kind of stress. I've been listening to a lot more podcasts, and then I've also noticed that my taste in podcasts has shifted a little bit in this direction of sort of simulating friends, where I'm listening to less of the highly produced podcasts with, you know, the very like snappy editing, and more of the podcasts that kind of ramble and it's just sort of people sitting around shooting the breeze about stuff. And the podcasts that get off topic pretty easily, and they're just kind of people hanging out with a loose theme to structure it. And I think that's the same purpose. You know, I'm basically, you know, having tea with my stuffed animals. I'm having a fictional book club with this one, I've been listening to The Amazing Spider Talk, which is about Spider-Man comics. That's my pretend book club. Or I've listened to How Did This Get Made, which is an imaginary film club, or, you know, those kind of shows. So another thing is this, the with all the anxiety and stress of just, you know, taking in the news while being stuck at home, not doing anything that feels useful. Really any kind of magic or ritual that just makes you feel less helpless, which makes you feel like you can accomplish something that helps something, somebody. I think magic, that's one of the main purposes of magic, is combating learned helplessness. You know, learned helplessness is like this kind of term in psychology that it's a phenomenon that when creatures, humans or, you know, lab rats or whoever, when you fail, you tend to stop trying. And it's like you might fail at one task a couple times, and then you don't even try a completely unrelated task because you just assume it's going to fail. I'm not sure why we evolved that, but it can cause a lot of problems for us. And I think that, you know, watching the news in general tends to cause that problem, where you're watching national news where it's so far out of your sphere of influence. And I think magic, you know, folk magic has been used by oppressed peoples for, you know, all of human history. And I think part of the reason that practice survived for so long and it was so prevalent among so many different peoples is that it helps to counteract learned helplessness in these horribly oppressive situations. I remember I read Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, I think last year, and I kind of ended up underlining a lot of little sections that were talking about, you know, these in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, these sort of magical or spiritualist practices that would emerge among the inmates and among the guards, and this the spiritual kind of experiences that people would have that would allow them to keep going. And I think that these sort of extremes of human experience, and even if you are a young, healthy person who has plenty of, you know, financial stability right now, which includes me, this is still an extreme of human experience in the isolation sense. I mean, it helps a little bit, I'm sure, if you live with family and you have a good, you know, relationship with the people you live with, or you know, living with friends or what have you. But even then, it's like, how many, what proportion of humans in history do you think have had to undergo that kind of isolation? It's just people in extremes that had to do that. You know, maybe people who were living in, through blizzards, or people who were, traveling on, you know, wagons or something. They maybe have had those kinds of experiences. People who lived in, you know, extreme far north or what have you. But it's a very rare experience to spend, you know, 2 or 3 months in a row with that little variety of human interaction. So I think that this is a situation that calls for the use of folk magic. Another thing that can help, which is maybe not explicitly sort of magic, but it is a ritual, which is keeping track of the passage of time and making a ritual out of observing, you know, the months and seasons as they pass, whether you're using the neo-pagan wheel of the year calendar, like the with the four quarters and the eight cross quarter, or the four quarters and the four cross quarters, or whether you're you know, just using the regular kind of calendar, just making a point of, you know, celebrating the start of each month, the start of each week. You know, a lot of our culture's normal rhythms in terms of marking time are gone right now. I know my dad is a pastor of a Christian church, and they haven't been open. They've been doing, you know, online services, but that doesn't have the same impact in terms of rhythm. You know, the different social organizations are not meeting right now. People aren't able to do their weekly rituals of, you know, if they, some people, you know, normally would go out to eat once a week or go to the movies once a week or go to the park or whatever. A lot of the, oh, I guess you could still go to the park, but depending on where you live. But anyway, all that to say, I think it's important to be deliberate about marking time. And that is definitely a ritual practice. Another thing that's sort of, you know, it's magic, but it doesn't have to be explicitly magic, is setting intentions. Again, because our days are so unstructured right now, being deliberate about setting intentions is really important. And that's what a lot of spells are doing in actuality, is sort of declaring an intention and setting it up in a way that sticks, I guess. You know, whether you're burying a jar in your front yard for protection from your ex, or you're wearing a charm around your neck to attract a new significant other. You know, those are both what they're actually doing in terms of psychological mechanism, is, you know, you're setting an intention and promising yourself something and doing it in such a way that serves as a reminder that renews your commitment to it. And I think that similarly, when you use take a ritual, like some people will feed a doll as a magical ritual, like, or a poppet, if you want to call it that, where you create a doll that is the representation of your goal, your magical goal, or maybe you'd kind of treat it as like the spirit that's going to manifest that goal for you. And then every morning you feed it a little bit of like a drop of essential oil or something like that. You just kind of hold it up to the doll's mouth and dispense with a dropper or whatever. Those kind of spells, you know, that's really there to set an intention, and you feed it every day to renew your intention every day. You could do, you know, maybe have like a bowl of rocks that each rock has a word written on it. And every day you pick out like two or three rocks to put in your pocket that sort of declares your goal for that day, whether your goal is to be, you know, productive, or whether your goal is to be, you know, focus on self-care, or your goal is to focus on, reaching out and connecting with somebody else. You could use these kinds of rituals on a day-to-day basis to help to create structure around your day that is kind of lacking right now. So obviously the other big component of this pandemic is health. And I've hesitated, you know, I've had on my list for a long time to make an episode of the podcast, like of the main podcast, about health and, you know, using magic for health. But I've really dragged my feet about it because the issue is so fraught when you have all of these like forms of alternative medicine, whether homeopathy or acupuncture or Reiki or what have you, that I think the practices can be useful, but they don't have legitimate like medical value. As far as the evidence suggests, they have legitimate value in a placebo magic sense, that they can help you to reduce stress, help you to reduce feelings of helplessness, which in turn has a medical benefit. And I think that's where, that's where I want to go with this today. I mean, maybe someday we'll do a full episode about alternative medicine and healthcare and stuff and the ethics of that. But as far as what you can do right now, it's in your best interest right now to keep your immune system in tip-top shape. And the best way that you can do that is to alleviate stress and anxiety and make sure you're getting enough exercise. you know, those kind of, just the normal things, but it's especially important right now. And so if you can direct your use of ritual and magic into serving those ends, to, you know, letting go of anxiety, letting go of stress, mustering up the motivation to get some exercise, and then also, like I talked about earlier, these kind of ways of faking social interaction, and kind of trying to squeeze the most out of what interactions you do have, I think that's going to be your best bet right now, is just trying to reduce your stress. Also, as far as the sort of, there's new habits that we're supposed to have now, which are, you know, I mean, I guess hand washing has always been a good idea, but this is like, especially now, you want to wash them a lot. And then, you know, not touching your face is extremely difficult to do. And we got to wear these masks. We got to avoid, you know, shaking hands and these kind of things. And I think that, again, placebo magic can help in respect to these habits where you can use placebo magic to communicate with your subconscious to help you intercept those actions, like touching your face before you perform it. So like one thing you could do is self-hypnosis. I think I had self-hypnosis as a spell of the week on like maybe like the second or third episode of the podcast in season one. But basically the idea is that late at night, you know, right before you're ready for bed, you lay down and turn the lights down. And it's even better if you have like a candle in the room to have sort of a flickering light, or at least that's my hypothesis. And you sort of have to get yourself into a trance-like state, which basically, you know, you can achieve by, you know, using your mindfulness experience. You know, you slow your thoughts, and then basically you just give yourself instructions. You know, you program yourself, and you could say, you know, something like, you know, I will not touch my face. I will not touch my face, or just those kind of things. And that I think self-hypnosis is sort of like, it's sort of like placebo magic minus all the paraphernalia, all the magic wands and candles and stuff. Well, I guess I did mention a candle, but it, you know, it's kind of a simpler form. But if you want to use the more theatrical approach, that helps too. And say, you know, wear something around your neck that is a reminder to not touch your face, that maybe something that you're not used to the feeling of wearing, so that kind of, every time you feel that, you know, necklace band around your neck, that renews your attention to the challenge of not touching your face. So that, this has been the Placebo Magic Podcast Patreon exclusive bonus show. I believe the next episode of the main show is going to be about tabletop role-playing games and what your, what skills are transferable between playing tabletop RPGs and practicing placebo magic. I actually wrote that episode mostly right before this pandemic started, and then I just never ended up finishing it because I kind of got distracted with, you know, all the kind of uncertainty and stress about the pandemic and my workplace closing and that stuff, and then also just, you know, getting into gardening season and whatnot. But I think that'll be the next episode, and I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm sorry it's been a while, but I mean, this, to be honest, this is why I set up the Patreon as a pay per episode rather than pay per month, because I don't want it to feel like a job, and I don't want you guys to feel like you're paying for nothing. So I figured this way I can make content when I actually have something to say, and I don't feel like I'm, you know, if it was a pay by month thing, then I would feel like I had to push something out whether or not I had anything useful to say. And on the other hand, if I didn't put anything out, then you might feel like you were just wasting your money by supporting it. So hopefully this is a win-win. I know that everybody's, well, not everybody, but I know I'm really like kind of desperate for more podcasts right now. Not that there's a shortage, but I'm desperate for that feeling of like familiar voices. So in that sense, I am sorry that sorry that it's been a while, but I hope you understand. And I also I want to give a shout out to our new patrons, which I haven't done this before. So technically that's everybody who's a patron so far. We're up to 6 patrons at a total of $11, which I think that total accounts for the fees that come out. But we got one person who's a patron at the producer credit level, which is Josh Betts. And then we've got 5 patrons who are at the bonus show subscriber level, which is Amy Page, Christopher Neese, Jade Cat, Jen Bottom, and Summerlin. And I'll give you guys a shout out when I do the actual main podcast episode as well. But thank you so much for supporting the show. It really means a lot, both in terms of just your obviously money is nice, but also it means a lot in terms of the encouragement and just the moral support. So thank you so much. I hope you have enjoyed the bonus episodes that have come out prior to this. And if you have any feedback that you want to send me, or just, recommendations for hangout podcasts, or, if you want to ask for, film recommendations, whatever, you can email me at farmcodegary@protonmail.com. And, hope you all stay safe out there. Not only stay safe, but stay healthy mentally, physically, etc. I hope your families and friends, loved ones, stay healthy and whatnot. And I hope you guys are all doing okay financially, because I know this is a really stressful time for a lot of people, especially having to make this kind of, having to weigh this balance between the stress of finance and the stress of public health. So anyway, everybody take care, and remember, magic is a metaphor, and metaphor is magical. You can find the Placebo Magic Podcast and my poetry on the web at garrisonbenson.com. Leave a voicemail for the show by calling 989-318-4118. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. You can support the show by giving us a review on your podcast app of choice, sharing an episode with a friend, or becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/placebomagic. Patreon supporters also gain access to our Patreon-exclusive bonus show. Remember, magic is a metaphor, and metaphor is magical.